What God is doing, I was here 2 weekends ago. We were ministering here. The power of God hit this place one Sunday evening. And I was in this exact spot. As I stood here, the Lord said to me, "You're standing on holy ground." I heard God say to me, "You're standing on holy ground." And immediately I felt the fear of God on me. Now, I know that most people lost the fear of God. Come on, we live under grace. We do whatever we want. Wrong? Amen? Wrong? Wherever the fear of God is, the Spirit of God shows up in power. And we've made this whole month, we said we're going to go into a series about the mysteries of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, I don't think a month will be sufficient. I think there's going to be maybe the whole year. But the one thing, and this is a simple reason why we do this, because this is one of the people or the persons that's the most neglected in the church worldwide, is the Holy Spirit. We speak about all the things except for delivering God's people. And there's only one way to deliver God's people. It's not through information. Information brings stagnation. Who understands what I'm saying? I said it this morning. Information will only bring stagnation. You'll come to a point in a place where you feel empty. Come on, dry. You do not grow in your spiritual life. You do not break through anymore. Why? Because you need revelation. For revelation bring forth manifestation. Manifestation bring forth transformation. We need manifestation of the Spirit and of His power. And I want to elaborate again on it when I said this morning that Paul says, "When I came to you, I didn't come with you with nice, enticing words. I'm not here to sweep you up. I'm not here to put some great words and make me sound like I'm clever. I don't want to be that." Paul says, "I have come to demonstrate the kingdom of God." Amen. With power. With power. Now, you do not cast out a demon spirit with knowledge. Come on, somebody in the side. You cannot heal the blind eyes with knowledge. You have to get to the place where you are completely dead to self. There's absolutely nothing left. And the Spirit of God comes with power. And that's where healing starts. All over the world where we saw healings. And I'm going to stand before God one day. There's some of the healings that took place in our meetings. And you know the Bible talks about signs and wonders. Well, it was signs that make me wonder. It shocked me that I thought to myself, can this be? Look at this miracle. Now, we all know, our beautiful people knows that the Lord opened the door for us. And in fact, they've asked us to make a movie about our life, if we will permit them to make movies. You know the people that made the movie for Angus Buchan, Faith Like Potatoes? Well, they've asked us if they can make a movie about our lives. And the guy says, he said, the producer sat with me and he said, "You know what? The miracles, that's the thing that moves me." He says, "I saw some of the stuff and it is incredible and the world needs to understand this and know this." But let me tell you, this is free for all. If people understand the source to the power, the secret to the power, it's a surrendered life. And without the Holy Spirit, there's none. Amen. Come on, without the Holy Spirit, there's none. In fact, I want to throw this in free of charge. You can sing. You can have the greatest worship band ever. Without the Holy Spirit, it's only a dead song. Come on. It's a clashing cymbal. That's the only thing. In fact, you can have a useless band. People that can't even sing. People that can't even have a tune. Just as long as the Spirit of God is there, my God, you can move mountains. And this is what we need. We need to get this person back into our meetings, in our lives. There's a generation. There's a generation dying because there's a lack of revelation in regards to this person. Am I speaking to the right crowd here tonight? And I want you to hold on to your seat. And I pray to God, lift your hand quickly. I pray to God that no man will be offended leaving this building. But you need to understand that truth does two things. It either sets you free or it Or offense. The choice is yours. Amen? Offense is never given, it's always taken. But I wanna see the prophets of old where they can stand like the watchman on the wall, that they can stand and declare a word of God and say, "Thus saith the Spirit of God," whether people like it or not. They say it because it's truth and the truth needs to come out. Am I? Come on. Now I want to start off with this, that you need the Holy Spirit. This morning we've seen the Holy Spirit move in lives. Tears. I've never seen people cry as much as they did this morning. Out of their spirits. It's not a fleshly thing. It's not a soulish thing. It's their spirits crying out to God. Smith Wigglesworth said the greatest move of the Spirit of God is in brokenness. When people come with brokenness before God. And he says he was not even moved by all the speaking in tongues when the Holy Spirit touched these people. He says what he was moved by, the compassion that people came before Jesus broken. crying out to the King of Glory. Now, here's the key for you tonight. Whoever is in this place right now, and you need a touch from God, you need to go from one level to the next. Do you want to know the secret? You better tap in, my brother. You need to be hungry. And God will stir you up. I promise you will leave this place not like you came. In Jesus' name. Now, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, people will take offense. I've been to many denominations that's not allowing the Holy Spirit. In fact, I was in a church in South Africa. I'm not going to elaborate too much into the story, but I drove 8 hours to get to this place. A week before the service, the Lord said to me, you preach on the person of the Holy Spirit. That's what He said I need to preach on. So the whole week, I was preparing my message, got to the church. And when I got to the place, the preacher said to me, welcome. Thank you for coming so far. He says, Mikasa Isukasa. My house is yours. You preach what you want. And I thought, wow, this is my house. And he said, but you're not allowed to preach on the Holy Spirit. He says, if you preach on the Holy Spirit, I chase you out, I chase you away. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, this is His church. He said, I'm not allowed to preach on the Holy Spirit, but you said I must. What do I do? And I heard God say to me, who do you fear? Do you fear man or do you fear me? I said, Lord, I fear you. He says, then you preach what I tell you to preach. In fact, we are not here to be liked. We are here to shake nations. Come on. We are here to plunder hell. This is why we are called. We are not called to be liked. And what I've seen when it comes to the anointing and the Holy Spirit, let me elaborate on this. A sign, a true sign that somebody's walking with God is they will always give Jesus all the honor and the glory. For that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the greatest promoter and He will always promote Jesus Christ. Say it with me, it's all about Jesus. Say it one more time. These hands means nothing if God is not using these hands. Who understands this? Come on, this tongue, this mouth is nothing unless God speaks through it. And we are just the oracles, we are just the hands, but it's His power and it's His glory. Can I say this again? It's His glory. And in that church, the pastor opened his Bible. He welcomed me, he welcomed everybody, and he said, we've got Vessel Dubrain from Johannesburg, blah, blah, blah. And then he said, church, you know me, you're not allowed to preach on the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Holy Spirit is dead. And he says, you know, if any minister is preaching about the Holy Spirit, I'll chase him out. And he closed his Bible and he walked off and I took the microphone. I tried my best to be good and to behave. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, He makes you bold. And He makes you to stand for truth. No negotiations. Come on, we're not called to negotiate with the world. I'm not a salesman. I don't negotiate. I deliver a message of power. Amen? And whoever is in bondage must be set free in Jesus' name. So I opened my Bible politely. And I opened the Word and I said, church, I couldn't stop it. I just said it. I said, church, I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is more alive than your pastor. And I will never forget this as long as I live. He sat in the third row, 1, 2, 3 rows, right at the end. And now I'm preaching about the person of the Holy Spirit. Tears are starting to flow everywhere. Suddenly there's an atmosphere shift, but suddenly there's a fire underneath his chair. Because this guy cannot sit still. He's up and he's down, and he's up and he's down. And I thought he's going to give me a rugby tackle. He's coming for me. So I'm coconutching him. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When the Spirit comes upon you, He makes you sharp in the Spirit. You see things even before it happens. He prepares you. Come on, come on, come on. He prepares you even before it happens. So I knew He's coming. But thank God for Michael. Thank God for Gabriel. And he jumped up and he ran. He ran to the front. He ran. And as he ran, I didn't give him a chance. I said, in the name of Jesus. And I pointed and he fell down. But he fell about 3-6 rows. Boom, out. And his ushers jumped up. They have to protect the pastor. And they ran and they grabbed him. They fell down. Every single one of them. And the Lord kept them there the whole service. I want to tell you, the whole place, there was hundreds. The whole place came to Jesus that day. They knew. And do you know what happened? The whole church closed down. I was preaching at a church. And one of the folks was in that church. He was in the previous church. He said, there's no Holy Spirit. And he came to me. He said, thank you for opening my eyes. He says, that church is dead and it's closed. And there were a church of hundreds of people, but no more. Amen? So I'm putting a great emphasis on the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's job, people say you have to put a great emphasis on Jesus. Help me out. If the Holy Spirit is truly being preached according to Scripture, He'll always put an emphasis on Christ. So by preaching about the Holy Spirit, you'll always hear it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. He's the one that brings things into remembrance. Amen. But I want to read your scripture quickly here. And I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 14 and verse 19. Now, I want you to, before we're going to read the scripture, I want you to look me in the eyes. Character is much more important than power. Let me say that again. Character is greater than power. Amen. Character, say with me, character is greater than power. Because power without character will kill you long before your time. Character will sustain the power on a person's life. The reason why people go through stuff is for the Lord allows it for you to be changed so that your character can be shaped according to His image and in His likeness. This is why you go through hardships. Character is more important. I've seen great men of God with power and no character to destroy them. And suddenly it's no longer, and trust me, listen, I say this every single time, don't listen to people who's not walking the walk. From the front, it's easy to show something. Amen? But it's something else to live it. And I've seen when the miracles are happening, how the devil will whisper and say, wow, did you see that guy was blind completely? I will never forget this. Wayne is my witness. He can help me out. We were in a service where a woman was so blind that the eyeball was completely white. Completely white. White of blindness. And we started praying for this woman, and suddenly this whiteness disappears, and you can see everything, the whole pupil, everything turns back to color. Amen. And I heard the devil say to me, wow. Why the devil? Because the Holy Spirit will never say to a man, wow. Yes. Did you see? You prayed for her. Did you see how the eye looked? You know what I did? I stopped. I ran back to the after service, closed the door behind me, fell on my knees, and I prayed. I said, God, you take the glory. The glory does not belong to man. Because I've learned and I've seen how people are being greatly used of God, but no character. And it's just an open target for the enemy to destroy you. This is why hard seasons is good. Come on, let's quickly look at this. Before I'm going to read this, what you sow, you reap. Let's see. I want to go there. They stoned Paul. And they dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Go to verse 20. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and he went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now listen, Paul was Saul, and Saul was he hated the Christians. He was a persecutor of the Christians. On his road to Damascus, while he was walking there, a light appeared out of the sky, out of heaven, and he heard a voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He fell on his knees and he said, who are you, Lord? In fact, he even knew this is God speaking. He just wanted to clarify who's the one. Jesus said, it is I, Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now, Paul persecuted the church. Is that correct? Paul dragged people to the council. Paul, in fact, stood next to people while they were being stoned when he was still Saul. Who understands what I'm saying? So Jesus is saying, listen, you have been persecuting my church. So whoever persecutes the church persecutes Christ. In other words, every single enemy that comes against you will go against Christ. He who touches you touches the apple of God's eye. Come on, if you believe it, shout yes in this place. So here's Saul. Scripture says he's a murderer, man. He's a persecutor of Christians. He stoned them and dragged them to the courts. And now suddenly things have changed. Saul has an experience. Oh my God, I pray that you'll have that same experience. Suddenly light shone, changed man. He became Paul. But what you sow, you reap. Amen. Paul once stoned people, now he's being stoned. You need to understand, for every sin, there's a penalty. People say, well, I'm under the blood. Well, let me tell you something. Write down the very date and second I'm telling you this. If you continue in sin, playing with the Holy Ghost, you're gonna have to pay for the sin. And the Bible says now, they stoned him and they thought he was dead. I want to think about this. It's not small stones, big stones. When they stone somebody, they try to kill them. So the Bible says, at the very state, imagine how Paul looked. Completely broken. But the Bible says the disciples came around him. They started standing, stood around him and started praying. And Paul stood up on his feet. On his feet. Just because men of God stood around and said, we are not for division. If one hurt,
We all hurt. Come on, if one goes down, we all go down. Am I speaking to somebody in this place? But I've seen that Jesus said to Paul that I'm going to show you how much you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. He said it to Paul on the road to Damascus. He said, I'll show you how much you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. And here's Paul being stoned almost to death. And this is that people need to understand. When you walk in the power of God, people are going to hate you. They're going to come against you. Am I in the right crowd tonight? They're going to hate you. They're going to try to do things. And what I've seen is out of your greatest hurts comes the greatest power. If you have never been hurt, never been broken, you do not qualify. Why do I say that? Because then you're still too full of yourself. You have to go through a place of stoning where they've hated you, but then you also need those men of God who will stand around you and say, my brother, it's not over until God says it's over. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. But those stones being thrown at you. Remember when we had the meeting here when I said build an altar? As they throw stones, you better build an altar. We are living in perilous times. We are living in dangerous times. We are living in times where people are deceived. Come on, let's just say this like it is. People are deceived. People are deceived. People are deceived. And for the simple fact, spirit attracts spirit. I heard a guy, he told me to my face, he said, your church is too holy. I need to go to a church where the presence of God is not as strong as here because I'll die here. He said it to my face. He said, I no longer can be here. I said to him, brother, spirit attracts spirit. If you want to be bound in lies and hypocrisy, by all means, it was good knowing you. But if you want an encounter with God, you see the difference is we're not playing church. We're not playing church. Amen. I'm sick and tired. I want to say this. I'm sick and tired of people operating out of the showroom and out of the throne room. People that walks in the flesh. Listen, when we act in the flesh, we become great enemies of the Holy Spirit. For why? Because when you act in the flesh, you want to do His job. God is spirit, man. Come on, somebody. He's spirit, not flesh. He doesn't. There's nothing in our flesh that God desires. I see people prophesy out of the flesh. And the Spirit of God get no honor for that. Because, listen, the scriptures. I want to read this to you. Listen here, Jeremiah 14:14. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesied to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. And quickly, there's another one. I want to throw this in tonight, free of charge. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord, thus says the Lord God. Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. Now, I love this. Listen to what he says. He says, therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense. This is in the Bible. It says, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Why do I say this? Because a lack of the presence of the Holy Spirit will allow people to prophesy things from themselves. Nowadays, we have Facebook prophets. You know that private messages? Oh, God says, you're a liar. You're a liar. They prophesy for a simple reason, for personal gain, to make them look good. And yet God has never said, but woe is man who says, thus saith the Lord, and the Spirit of God has not permitted him to say anything. Shame on you. I need some serious people in this place right now who says we're sick and tired of the world playing with my God. Listen. This is my God. I love Him. And people trample on Him and misuse His name and do things in His name. I want to say this and I have to guard my heart against all these things. But I've seen this. People, spirit attracts spirit. Jesus said, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Amen. If we are building the same kingdom, why do you get people who hate you? speak against you. Listen, this afternoon I took some time. I said, Lord, you need to reveal something to me. Because I don't understand things. If we all win souls, and you stand here from the podium and you speak against another man of God, or you go into a room and you lie and speak things about another man of God, you are not a man of God. You are possessed and you need deliverance. You cannot say you're a man of God and speak bad about people. Do you hear what I'm saying? Come on, do you hear what I'm saying? Who's agreeing with me? If you say that you're so spirit-filled and so used of God, but you cannot keep your mouth in control, you're a liar. It's that spirit of the devil that uses you. Did I say that? Oh, absolutely I did. They cannot cast out demons because they have demons themselves. They entertain demons. Come on, they entertain them. You go through a season and this, and you have to drink this pill, and it's a long story. My God, it cannot cast them out because they've got demons themselves. If we are building the kingdom of God, let's do it together. Come on, with one mind, one purpose, to see hell shaken and heaven full. I've asked God, why is it that churches against churches, ministers against ministers? Do you know why? Because no longer do they please the Spirit of God. They please their own self, because it's no longer, listen, do you know what it's all about? It's a number game. It's a numbers game. And you, I pray to God that the scales will fall from your eyes. Never, ever, ever look to a man's gifts and say God is using him. Always look to the fruit. A gift is just a sign that the Holy Spirit can use a man. But the fruit is a sign that a man has been with God. You need to look at the fruit. In these days, we need to look at fruit. Come on, the Lord gave me something I want to share with you. There is no point in a ministry that's in the business of growing leaves instead of harvesting fruit. We've got a lot of dead leaves. Jesus says, I want to see fruit. I want to see fruit. Now, relationship with the Holy Spirit will always produce fruit. The minute you start to lose focus, in fact, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. If you speak to somebody for long, you'll understand what everything's about. My God, do you hear what I'm saying? I've been with a preacher a few months ago, and he told me about his dad. His dad was a minister of the gospel in South Africa, a great minister of the gospel. A lot of miracles happened, a lot. And I don't want to mention his name, but most of you are going to know him. So I'm not here to mention any names, but he told me about his dad's life, and I was intrigued from a small boy about this great evangelist that tore South Africa, and the miracles, the signs, the wonders happened all over. And he said to me, and another preacher told me the same thing, a dear friend of mine told me the same thing. He said, this preacher, when God started using him, the body started kicking him out. All right? His colleagues, his preacher friends started hating him, spreading lies and rumors, and they pushed him out. And the Lord did great things through him. Mighty miracles happened, but yet the world hated him. And he couldn't understand why. He couldn't understand why. What is he doing wrong? And the Lord started revealing to him, it's not something that you do wrong. It's something that's upon you that they are not willing to pay the price for. And they hate you for that. They hate because they cannot release what you've got upon your life. And just before he died, a whole group of preachers called this guy and said, we need to see you. We want to have a meeting with you. So he rocked up to the whole boardroom full of preachers from different denominations. And the head of the whole thing, stood up to his feet and he said, I need to ask you for your forgiveness. And he said, for what? Why do I need to forgive you? And the preachers responded, every single day we prayed that God will kill you. It's quiet. And he said, God, to kill me? They said, You are a risk to the kingdom of God because people like you. People run to your meetings. So we pray that God will just take you out and kill you. And I almost fell on my back. I said, can man of God come to that place where the man of God that ain't no man of God? No. Man of God is not everybody that preaches is a man of God. Oh, you better hear me. My God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will reveal us to you, but we've got many wolves in sheep's clothing. My God, it's about us, it's about us, it's about us. God is not counting people, He's weighing people. What is in a man's heart, that's what it's about. One day we're going to stand before His throne. Do you hear what I'm saying? And there's a reason why I say this. Because I'm not here just to preach Sunday after Sunday. I need to produce fruit in your lives so that you can do greater things than we are doing. Our vision is 700 million souls, but that shouldn't stop you. I always prophesy this to my son. I prophesy this to the team. I says, my ceiling will be your dancing ground. Come on, when we stop, you'll take over. But we need to produce truth in people. Come on, we need people that will be on fire, so filled with the Holy Ghost, that you don't have time talking nonsense, as Scripture says, and you are more focused on God than what you are about people's lives. And when you focus more on God Almighty, listen, why do I say this? Because any man that's intimate with God is not intimidated by man. There's too many people intimidated by man because they're not intimate with God. If you're intimate with God, it's no longer I love. I want to know nothing except for Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Am I speaking to the right crowd? So why can you say that? Because I say this. So plat as wat ek dit kan sê. I see the miracles. I see the healings. I see the breakthroughs. And it worked for me. This is why it can work for you. And I said this morning. Any man that's self-centered, full of himself, proud, God can never do something mightily through your life. I want to say one more. And then I promise I'm going to go on to what I want to. My dad played me a clip when I was a small boy, a tape, about a guy called, Johan Greiling. Johan Greiling was also an evangelist in this nation, and he preached powerfully. And my dad played me a tape of how Johan Greiling drove out a demon spirit. And it shook me, because I always said to God, I want that power. You can hear there's no negotiations. This demon is coming out. They're not playing around, they're coming out. This guy is commanding them. And big demons, they're talking and say, we will not come out. This woman asked us to stay. And he says, you've got no choice, you're coming out. And then you hear that lion roaring and coming out. And the Lord delivered them. And the Lord used this guy mightily. So I grew up. And eventually a preacher invited me to Cape Town to preach in some of his churches around Cape Town. And I got to a hotel and I met a guy there. And I didn't know who he was. And he walked up to me and said, hi, Wesley, my name is Johan Greiling. And you're going to preach in one of my churches. And I said, all right, thank you very much. Nice meeting you. We just got this. So I had to go to my room. And I was walking down the aisle. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, that's the Johan Greiling. And I turned around and I said, hang on, sir. I said, are you Johan Greiling? And he said, yes, I am. I said, the Johan Greiling? He said, yes, I am. I said, I was a small boy when I listened to you on tapes. And he started sharing his life with me. They hated him. They hated him. Do you know how his story ended? He was so powerfully by God that preachers hated him. And he was sitting at a place drinking tea, and another man, the Lord gave him a word, and he walked towards Johan Greiling. He says, do not drink this tea. God says they put something in the tea to ruin your ministry. They're gonna drug you and you'll lose everything. And he said, no. He said, I've got power. Whatever I drink, it will not harm me. And he drank the tea. And trust me, do you know what happened? They seduced him. Now he's not with himself. He's drugged completely. And they got a woman in his room. Snap, snaps. End of the ministry. And he came out. It was fellow preachers that hated him. That hated the call upon his life. Now this is why I thank God for a smaller group tonight. Because I need to speak to the real people. God is not calling the sissies. He's calling the ones who says, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. But when you walk in the Spirit, you better walk with obedience, sir. You better be obedient even up to the place of death. Now, it doesn't come cheap. The anointing of God doesn't come cheap. And we need the Holy Spirit with this precious anointing. And I've seen it with Elijah and Elisha. The same thing happened. With Elijah and Elisha's life, I want you to picture this whole story. Elijah, a man full of the power of God, the Holy Spirit moving and working great miracles through him. And I want to speak to somebody that's paying attention in class. Right, I'm going to ask questions. All right, but remember when I speak about Elijah, and I said, Elijah, a man full of faith, the Scripture says he had the same spirit as us. Say with me, same spirit. Say it again, same spirit. Not a different spirit, the same spirit as us, and he prayed earnestly, and the Bible says it didn't rain. The rain stopped, and he prayed earnestly, and rain came again. And the Bible says while he was standing on the mountain, he had a servant with him, and he was praying, and there was no rain on earth. And then he said to his servant, go and see what you're seeing outside, come back, report it to me. Seventh came back, said, I see nothing. Eventually, we all know, at the seventh time, he came back and he said, I see a cloud as big as a man's fist. Elijah said, prepare for rain. Remember what I said, any man that walks in the Spirit doesn't need a cloud to announce the rain. The cloud will always be for the servant. The cloud is always for the servant, not for the man of God. The man of God speak according to what God says. I had a discussion just before the service started. If you think about what I'm saying, somebody asked me about anointing oil. Do I use anointing oil? Don't I? And I said, you know what I use? I use what God tells me to use. If God says, get your oil, I get my oil. If God says, no oil, it's no oil. Why? Because Jesus said, I can do nothing except for that I see my Father do it first. So I cannot do anything unless I hear from Him what do I need to do. Am I speaking to somebody? Now the Lord said to me, to him, it's going to rain. And he said, brother, go see. What do you see? He comes back. I see nothing. No, it's not what I see. The man of the Spirit always sees breakthrough. The man of the Spirit always sees as God sees. Come on, help me out. And the Lord said to me, well, the time for departure is at hand, but I want you to anoint somebody in your place. And this man's his name is Elisha. And scripture says that when he found Elisha plowing, and Elisha was called. But Elisha had a servant's heart. Can somebody help me out in this place? A servant's heart. He loved to serve. That's what he wanted to do. God always looks for the servants. Do you know what longevity in ministry? Longevity in ministry comes from a background of serving. You want to preach, but you cannot stack chairs? Come on, you want to preach, but you cannot? Listen, I've got great team members working in the bathrooms. It's another story. Any man, Diewald, he's normally the guy working in the toilets. And he, if you work in a toilet, you skip chapters. Stacking chairs is going to take you years. Working in toilets, brother, you're almost there. All right? But a servant's heart always produces the Spirit of Christ, because Christ was the greatest servant ever. You didn't hear what I said. A servant's heart always produces the Spirit of Christ. Because Christ was the greatest servant ever. And we all know that this time came, the scripture says that Elijah tested Elisha. And he said that he's going to the Jordan, he's going to Bethel and Jericho and all those places. And he wanted to test him to see if this guy is willing and able. Because this is where we miss out on a young generation, our young generation. You see, you can go on any smartphone, everything is quick. You send messages, WhatsApp, quick. And they think the same thing happens in the Spirit and everything needs to happen quickly. But people need to understand that there's a process attached to the anointing of God. A whole process. And what people don't understand is the young folks wants to have it now. And I want to say something. Just because you were in somebody's meeting and they laid hands on you didn't mean that you received a double portion. A double portion comes through relationship. Who understands what I'm saying? A double portion comes through spending time, intimate time with that person, learning from him, taking a rebuke. Come on, our generation doesn't want to be rebuked. I can't even tell you how many times I've been rebuked by great men of God who's done greater things than I ever. And I'm taking the rebuke because I learned from that rebuke. Come on, help me out. Because I know they've been through it. They've been through the pain. They've been through the stoning. Come on, through the criticism. And we've got a generation that wants to have a quick fix. And what they don't understand is when you go for a quick fix, there's no character being built. You need character. The character will sustain you in the greatest victories. But the character will also sustain you when it's bad. The character sustains any man in the valley and it sustains a man on the mountain. Amen. So we want to go quick. Rodney Howard Brown taught me something. Last year, he said this to me. He said, Vessel, the Lord said to me, only when he's 75 years old, God will use him. I said, no, man, come on. God is using all around the world. He says, God says it's a process. And the words that he spoke to me, I'll never forget. He says, Vessel, build slow and build strong. He says, most people that want to build fast, they lose character, they lose sight of the vision, and everything crumbles. He says, you have to get down on your knees and build from the bottom. You build it up and God will sustain you. Why? Because those seasons where you have been persecuted and being thrown with stones, being stoned, it builds character in a man's life. You want the anointing of God, you better get on your knees, get through character. Do you know what my words to the Lord was? I said, God, if you're going to use me, I want to be extraordinary. I don't want to be a normal guy. I hate being normal. And the Lord challenges me. My wife always says to me, you can't keep one phone. You hate driving one car. You everything, because listen, many people settle in one thing. But I don't see life like this, I see life like this. Now God does the same thing, because God responds to your character. Let's try again. God responds to your character. Amen. If you're a man of vision, God will continue to bring vision. Yes. Amen. So God moves quickly. It's like me. I'm happy in one place, and then God says, no, 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 bigger. And then I'm trusting for one thing. God says, no, no, that's small, man. You better trust for big. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. Character produces such a great anointing. And when the character comes, my God, you better hear me what I'm saying. When you move in the Spirit and character is built, you prophesy smoothly. You speak the oracles of God. Because character kills you. Remember what I said this morning. You only live when you die. All things are possible for the man who knows how to die. Amen? Am I speaking to you? Do you know why most people pray for the sick and don't see anything happen? Because while they're praying for the sick, they're still alive. But when you die completely, then the Lord flows through you. Listen, even when Elisha died, Scripture says he was laying in a grave, and they tried to bury a guy in the same grave, and they took this body of the guy, and they threw him into the same grave where Elijah, and the Scripture says Elisha, he was already bones. When this man's body touched the bones, he stood up. Why do I say this? Because there's more power in a dead man than in the one who's alive. You better die, brother. You better die, sister. Die to self. It's not about you. It's about him. It's not your church. It's his church. It's his church. It's not your sheep. It's his sheep. Amen. It's his sheep. If you say, but what about my name? What about your name? It's not about your name. It's about his name. It's about him. It's all about him. And Elisha proved that. Elisha had people. And you always have people that will try to destroy the vision God has placed upon your life. Any man that walks in the Spirit, I'm talking to the spiritual people, who walks in the Spirit, you'll always have opposition. Always, always, always. If you want, my God, you don't even qualify. Elisha had opposition. They said to him, do you know your father is going to be removed from you today? And he said to the prophets, keep quiet. Just keep quiet. Think about the prophets that attacked Elisha. It was prophets, men of God. It wasn't the world. It was men of God. Why? Because they didn't have. Or let's rephrase. They didn't want to pay the price Elisha was paying. And while Elisha was paying the price, there came a reward. What reward? He said, I want double the portion. Double of your spirit. Double the miracles. Double the favor. Double the grace. You become the preaching and the teaching you sit under. You receive double from what you sit under. You come on. The double the favor, double the miracles. If you sit in a funeral, you'll be dead. My God, God is calling people whose hearts is on fire for him. Hearts who's ready. Who's saying, Lord, I'll go through the Jordan. I'll go through Bethel. Lord, shake me in Jericho. I don't care. I want you, Lord. I want the power of the Holy Ghost to shake me to my core. We are people. Listen, have you seen when you have a great band? I was in a church, my one preacher friend, big church. He called me up, he said, come preach my church. But I have to tell you, I don't have a band anymore. I said, I don't care about the band. He said, no, I have to tell you, I chased them all away. He said it to me, big church. I said, how can you do that? He said, well, let me tell you. He says, while I'm ministering the word, they're sitting and playing on Facebook. No regard for the Holy Spirit. No fear for God anymore. He says, I'd rather play CDs than play church with people. Because it's not a performance. My God, do you know what I'm talking about? Worship is a sacrifice that you present unto God. A sacrifice. If it's just about singing songs, let's stop it. Come on, let's stop it. Let's just close. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We were in a church. They've invited us in the Free State. God can help me out. We were scheduled to preach there for 3 days. When we got there, they had 15 people in the congregation. 15. And the Holy Spirit moved. The first night of miracles. The second night, 30 people. The third night, 100 people. They asked me, please, will you stay another night? I said, one more night, 200 people. Ask me again, please, can you just stay another night? 400 people. When we left that place, it nine nights of the power of the Holy Ghost, the place was packed to 500 people who didn't even knew about that church. The preacher came to me, he said, Vessel, I need your help. I need you to stay another night. This is nine nights. I said, I can't. I'm scheduled to preach somewhere. He said, listen, what do I do now? I don't have this. I need to give people what you gave them. I said, it's not, I didn't give anything. You need to come to that place of utter dependence upon the Spirit of God. Why did I say what I said? Because I believe the time has come. It's not coming. It's not coming. It's here. The time has come where God will shake the church. I need to get across to you. Where God will shake the church. And I want to tell you, the shaking is going to be uncomfortable for many people. Because God is going to shake the true from the fallacy. He's going to separate it. He's going to... You better hear me. And you'll see it, because spirit attracts spirit. People who's uncomfortable, those who live in sin, sin will be exposed in the hour we are living in. You hear me? Sin will be exposed in the hour we are living in. You better get right. As Smith Wigglesworth said, he said, repent often, repent often. And you know what Smith Wigglesworth said? He prophesied it. He says that years from now, the Spirit of God will not move as He used to move. For people will turn away from God. They will think they're right with God, but yet they need to repent. And once repentance comes back in churches, the fear of God will come back and the Holy Spirit will turn cities upside down. I was in Finland. God can help me out here. In Finland, I was preaching. And the preacher, I was preaching in a, it seemed like a cinema. The whole auditorium set up so you can look up there and you wave at an auntie. It was a strange building. But the power of God was so strong that I stood right here. Couldn't move much. And I'm looking for the preacher who invited me, my friend. I love this guy. His name is Kimo. And I said to him, that name, I rebuke that name, but I like you. Kimo. Come on, no Kimo. Only power. So I'm looking for this guy, and I'm looking down, and I saw that he's a big guy, so you can't miss him. And he's laying on my shoes, sobbing, crying his heart out. He's pouring his heart out. And while he's crying, I had two South Africans with me. And while this man is crying, a woman starts to cry, but she sobbed loudly. And she almost fell from the chairs, and the ushers helped her down, and she came down, and they moved the pedestal, and she fell on top of this guy, Kimo. Boom. And both of them crying. And there's one South African I took with me. He jumped up and he cried. He cried bitterly. And he fell on top of this woman. Now it's three people piling up. And everybody's laying on my shoes. And I'm trying to get out. Trust me, now everybody's piling up. And the fourth and the fifth and the sixth. Everybody starts to fall on top of each other. It's a sight I've never seen before. The power of God started shaking that place. The meeting was scheduled for 2 hours. We went on for hours, non-stop. The Holy Spirit was just poured out in that place. God is my witness. It hit the whole Finland. People were driving to the building and they said that it seems like the place is on fire. What's happening here? And they said it's just a revival. The news, television, the stations, the news stations in Finland broadcasted. And they said revival has sparked in the nation of Finland. I'm talking about a nation where I preach, where I received an email saying, if you do not leave our country, we kill you. We come to your meeting tonight and we're going to kill you. We hate you. We don't want you here. And I replied back, I will see you there. Come on, he who walks in the Spirit fears nothing but the Spirit of God. Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh death, come on, where is thy sting? You don't fear death, you don't fear what people think. You just fear one thing, I want to be right with God. I want to be right with Him. Listen, I say this countless times, I say this again. I would rather walk alone with the Holy Spirit than walk in a crowd empty. When walking in a crowd, being liked by people, but no power. The enemy doesn't, it's not afraid of me because you've got 10,000 likes on your Facebook. Come on. He doesn't like you because of your great statuses. He hates you because of the power of God that you carry upon your life. And this is what we need. We need His power once again. Aline and I, we were talking about this just the other night. A family asked to see a DVD of our ministry. And they showed us to the father of the house, and this man, he cursed me. And for everybody that knows me, many people say I know Vesta, but they actually just know his name. Those who know me will know I'm totally in love with the Holy Spirit. That's why ministry is based upon the Holy Spirit for a reason. And this guy's cursing God. He says, no, this, I'm false. And everything that he sees on television is false. And a week after that, he died of a severe heart attack. A big guy, a severe heart attack, he died. And they've called us to the hospital to come and go and pray for that guy. And what I will never ever forget, one woman walked out of the room, and she said they pronounced him dead. There's nothing they can do anymore. And Aline and I, we were standing in a hallway, in a passage, and we were waiting for them to let us into the room. And Aline touched me. She said, look at my hand. And I looked at her hand, and I saw her hand change color completely. It seems like a dead man's hand. And suddenly the power of God came upon us. Do you know when the power of God comes in? You become bold. Your face changes. Your voice changes. Suddenly you're not 1.74 meters. You are 2 meters. Amen? You're bold. Come on, bold. Not intimate. You're bold as a lion. So you feel what? God. There's nothing small about the Spirit of God. I love it when my feeling comes. Thank you, Lord. Remember, I always say that I asked God one day, I said, Lord, why did you make me so small, so short? And he said that he makes everything grow until it's perfect. Thank you, Jesus. Some guys had a long way to perfection. Well, I believe it, all right? It makes me feel better, all right? Long story short, now, let's get back to business. So, they pushed a woman in a bed just past us. And we felt the power of God. My God, I feel that same power now. Do you hear what I'm saying? I feel that same power now. Suddenly, just before I go on with the story, lift your hands. Come on. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here. My God, I give you praise. Thank you for this anointing. Thank you for this power. In Jesus' name. And I promise you, you get the glory for this testimony. Come on, just quickly, hear me. They pushed this woman. And Aline said, maybe she needs the healing. Maybe it's her that we need to lay hands on. And the sister came, she called us in. We walked through this door, and I saw this guy, this big guy laying on his bed. And the sister took a torch and she shone it in his eyes. And she said to us, this guy is dead, there's nothing more that we can do. But I know a name, which is above every other name. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know a name. And I said to the woman, just give me 2 minutes. The flesh fought against what I just said. My flesh couldn't understand. Are you crazy? Just give me 2 minutes. That's all I need. I don't need much time. I just need God to intervene. And I said to Aileen, are you ready? And she said, yes, let's pray. And we didn't say much. We laid our hands on this guy's stomach. I'll never forget it. God's my witness. I laid my hands on this man and I said, in the name of Jesus. When I said that, my feet, it felt like an earthquake underneath my feet. And then I understood and I had more respect than ever for the name of Jesus. Because when I said in the name of Jesus, the foundations of that building, it felt like it was shaking underneath me. And suddenly this guy woke up. His eyes opens up, but big. He sits up straight, pulls the pipes that it was in his throat. And he tries to communicate with me. He tries to say something to me, and the whole family and the nurses comes in, and we need to go. We had to leave. And I said, what happened in this place? And I want to tell you something. That man died without Jesus. That man died because he mocked the Spirit of God. He spoke against the anointing of God. He didn't believe in Jesus. Am I speaking to somebody? But the Lord gave him another chance. By the grace of God Almighty, when he woke up from that bed and he saw me, that was a sign that God is alive. That's only by the grace of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? By the grace of God. But information cannot bring the dead back to life. You need revelation. Revelation knowledge from the Spirit of God. This is why many people fail when they raise the dead. They go to do something great for their own names, and it never happens. You need revelation knowledge before you raise the dead.
sickness and disease has no hold on me, 'cause I believe. Yes, I